Hello and welcome to the DPS Night Show, where we're talking about hero points and how you guys got way too many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we're just like, oh, I missed that strike. I really wanted to hit, so I'm going to use a resource that's very valuable just to make sure I hit.
Yeah, so Kelly did some reading in the rule book, which I hate when he does it, but...
Ruin the fun for everybody.
Yeah, stop doing that.
I want to waste my hero points on skill checks.
Yeah, so we were doing a thing where you guys were getting a hero point every episode, and usually you know, you're supposed to get a hero point, and then I'm supposed to award hero points. But I was not awarding hero points, and I was just doing boons. So if you guys did something really cool, then you would get a boon. If you did something bad, like what Adalar did, then you get a curse. That's how I was doing it, but. The hero points themselves did come too frequently, even with that.
Yeah, like, when I was looking at the core rule book, it was like, I don't have it in front of me, I think it was like, in a 4-hour stretch of play, so like an arbitrary 4 hours of play, each player should be awarded one at the start of that 4 hours, and the GM is advised to hand out 2 additional hero points. So, essentially, 6 hero points in a 4-hour stretch of play.
Yeah.
We have like hour-long episodes, and we were getting one. Every episode.
Yeah. It's one of those things that it like made perfect sense while I was playing, but when it was actually brought up, I even thought, I was like, that's too much.
Yeah, to our credit, I don't know how many moments, like, where we, like, ended an episode and then, like, started a new episode with a fresh set of hero points that, like, would have saved a character from dying. The main thing I think about is when Elk almost died from the crossbow arrow. But I don't think Elk had used his hero point to that, like, in that combat.
It had been a significant amount of time.
So he would have been fine even with the episode ending. Yeah. He didn't, like, benefit from the episode ending and getting a fresh set of hero points.
Yep.
But, obviously, getting a new set every episode was very advantageous to the players.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, that's fine, because, I enjoyed it, because I really like your characters, and I definitely don't want them to die.
That's a lie.
I like making characters, so, I mean, as much as I love Kezra.
I'm going to keep Kezra alive just to spite you.
I don't think you can kill Kezra.
not when Benson's alive.
Add a few more butchers to these encounters.
Like, why are they all attacking Kezra for some reason? Benson's standing right there.
They all have letter memos that they go for the orc.
5 creatures immune to magic that hate magic casting. Yeah.
Like, this is one thing. Unless there's a horrible misplay or somebody's completely out of position, Jake has to kill Benson before he kills anyone else.
I was gonna say this earlier, but like, even with like the number of hero points that we got, Skult still died.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So like, you know, yeah. it wasn't completely one sided, because I think it was just one of those things where it was what, 2 natural ones in a row.
It was like, yeah, it was like a, yeah, it was absolute garbage.
Yeah, so the critical failures, you know.
Also misplayed by me, because I could have kept him alive, but I chose to keep swinging.
Both Benson and Adalar said, I know I just need to get there and do one action. Mm. And so nobody expects a critical failure on a death saving throw.
Yeah,
so yeah, it was, you know, it's just one of those things. But we're changing it up. You guys aren't going to get as many hero points. What I will be doing is I will be awarding you guys hero points, and I'll let you know when that happens. Or I'll be giving you guys your free hero point at certain points, sort of like almost like milestones. So like, we do milestone experience. So imagine sort of it might seem arbitrary, but sort of a milestone hero point award.
Cool.
So you guys will start off this next stretch with new hero points, because I don't even know if we were tracking them last time. But
why can't
I constantly forget I even have hero points? Honestly,
I'm sure I like used the hero point to figure out what the stuff we found in the temple was.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. At that point, you're like, wow, I just got hero points. Like, why can't I hold
by
all
the,
these?
By the greed of Kezra.
By the greed
of Kezra. I feel like we have like 2 really good phrases from Kelly. It's like, the power of the dragons, and by the greed of Kezra. It's like, some of us need to get more
excuse me, I've got Thy Will Be Done.
You're right. Thy Will Be Done. That's right.
I am feeling really good, because John told me, I don't know if it was like your sister or someone listened to the podcast and said, why is Kezra such an asshole? And like, you don't know how much that warmed my heart. that like somebody else who's listening is just like, he's a dick.
No, she hates you.
I am doing my job.
Right. Hey, you play a character well if you become the guy you love to hate.
Yes.
He's a great anti-hero.
By the way, if you make it here, shout out to Kate, my younger sister. Love you. She's gonna get so sick and drop it in like 5 episodes. Don't worry about it.
Not listening anymore.
It sucks.
You can make a lot of dick jokes. I just can't really. I can't deal with
it. Don't you remember?
You guys talk about pickles way too much. I just couldn't.
It's just too many pickles. Maybe you just remember episode one when it was like, hey, we gotta put out this fire, and Kesra just runs out. Oh, we gotta leave.
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let it burn.
And then was it in a pickle bar that Kesra threatened people?
No, Benson threatened.
That's right.
Jake was like, there's a whole thing where you gotta drum up business for the bar before she tells you anything. Yeah. I was just like, nope.
No, did not happen.
My will be done.
he went like full swap mode into that, and it's just like, what are you doing here?
All the subterfuge and all this other stuff. Ben's was just like, I'm done with this. Give me what I want. It's
too shady. Tell me.
You just turned full Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Okay, Jake, the next 50 episodes, can we do like a clip show? Everyone's going to hate it, but we just have clips
highlights?
That's one.
I want to go through and just get all of the all the banter that I cut out of just like us talking about absolutely nothing. There was one where Timmy was just in tears because there was some joke that we just did not drop and Timmy couldn't get it.
I want all the ones where we break you.
That's the best.
Yeah. I feel like we need to take a picture of your face too.
Yeah.
Like in the back, holding your forehead. Like
yes.
It's like stop crying. Benson's house, the balls, the bolus on the face. Classic moment. Moments where Jake just couldn't keep it together.
I genuinely, when my sister told me she was listening, I could not wait for her to get to episode 12 because episode 12 is like iconic. It's like it's our magnum opus so far.
Yeah, if those are greatest hits, that'd be a first. Well, last time you guys got to finally discover where you were hearing those gunshots from.
Mm-hmm.
You came across a guy by the name of Gerhard Pendergrast,
also known as Thick Nigel.
Also Theodore Roosevelt.
Thick Nigel. It's like I mentioned it a little bit, but there was like a brief moment where Adelar is like, "That is a beautiful being."
Yes.
And then he opened his mouth, and I was like, "You ruined everything."
I know. Like we started the conversation. I was like, "So we're gonna have to convince this guy that we have to destroy this pillar."
Right.
But then he just kept talking. I was like, "Oh no, we're gonna kill this guy."
He's a total prick. Yeah. I think it was Elkwood that did a check and was like, "Oh, Underworld. This guy's a hack."
So and there's nothing that grinds a follower of Abadar's gears than dishonest gain,
counterfeiting.
Yeah. which is his whole deal from what Elkwood sort of whispered to you.
It's the only pillar of Abadar's worship that Kesra just can't get his head around.
I don't get it. He's making money.
Kesra really likes the money aspect of Abadar.
Yeah.
Less so the honest earnings.
Yes. Well,
he liked him up to the point that he's like, cool. Gold mine. Right. Don't mind if I do. I'll take that too.
Whoa.
That's ours.
Like, oh man. Yeah. That's right.
We woke up that morning and chose violence.
Yeah.
Oh no. We didn't choose violence. Thick Nigel did.
Yeah.
Somebody draw Thick Nigel.
Yeah.
All right.
Green leather armor that shines. That has a gloss to it.
Yeah, and he's got a gat. Like not even a blunderbuss. Just draw him with a modern handgun.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful ass.
Yeah.
Yep. Thick as fuck. I think we're losing all our viewers.
Yeah. We're gaining more and more. You can tell Mark and I talk daily. after you guys had finished him off before he could run off into the woods.
He ran so far.
You guys got a bunch of his stuff. You got his shoddy blunderbuss.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of items from him. Mainly one of them, which was just quintessential item, a bag of holding.
Yes. So valuable. Valuable.
You got that, and during the conversation, he had mentioned that when he was trying to get you guys to help him, he had mentioned that there was a boat that he had.
Yeah,
and you guys had been discussing how we going to get over this river.
Exactly.
Like you saw it on the map. You knew from the EJ about the river. Like you knew that this is going to be something you guys would have to get across. Mm-hmm. I imagine Elk was a little scared because the minor
water.
River. you almost
water sucks.
Yeah.
You know, despite the whole thing of my strength being. being almost on par with Benson's and stuff like that. It's like, oh, no, water, huh?
No. Yeah,
I water can't. Start floundering.
No. No. There was a YouTube video I watched about just D&D in general, like one of the animated channels I watch. I can't really remember it, but they're like, if you want to post like a dangerous thing for players,
water.
Running water.
Mm, mm-hmm,
like, mm-hmm. If you fail a check to jump over and it's too powerful, there's nothing you can do.
Any armored character immediately is like, this is my worst enemy.
XP
to level 3, they did a... They have a small like series where him and his fiance... They go through the old 3.5 monster manuals, which is awesome. And then because 3.5 is so different from 5e, and they just taught she goes through and then she'll be like, Jacob, what do you think this monster is? And he'll guess. His guesses are pretty good because he's
he's pro at this.
But they went across a creature called the Drowned, which is pretty much a zombie that drowns. A lot of sailors turn into them. But it has an aura of drowning around it.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
I know which one that is.
Yeah. Okay, she had to go into what drowning rules are. Drowning rules are pretty much, you make a con save. If you fail, you start drowning. If you fail again, you go to -1 hit points.
Yep. Yep.
If you fail again, you die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3.5 was brutal.
Yeah, yeah. And it was great. I liked it like that because it's like...
Kind of accurate.
Yeah, it's extremely accurate.
Fun fact, one of my favorite top 5 D&D creatures of all time is an aboleth. Aboleth can make people drown.
Mm-hmm.
So if you fight an aboleth, you have to go into the water because they are sea creatures, and they can turn you into drowned.
Man, you guys all know that my only... like, I just want to run a seafaring adventure. It's not helping me. So, I really just want to roll... DM a party that owns a boat. I have boat shit.
So real quick, Kelly, I'm going to make a wizard and he has water breathing?
I want to actually push back on the 3.5 rules of drowning.
Go
because
on.
I actually don't think it is very realistic. Because you're saying one round, fail con save, you start drowning.
Yeah.
Second round, fail con save, -1.
I believe so,
and then third round, fail con save, die.
Yeah.
So what you're implying is that in 18 seconds, you'll die. I feel like that is not very realistic.
Well, see, so if you fail a con save, you inhale water. Because that's what panicked people do when they drown.
Well, we're not going with panicked people. We're going with, like, hardened adventurers. They're not going to, like, suck in water. Fair. You know what I mean? Like, I could see that for, like, an NPC, like, villager, you know?
Yeah.
Like, dying. But still, like, the fact that...
One of those lowly peasants.
Right. Like, I would understand if you got to, like, the third failed con save and then you were in, like, some sort of state of incapacitation that you could still be resuscitated from.
Right, yeah.
Expulsing the water from your lungs and then getting air in there. Because, like... I don't quite remember the numbers, but it's like permanent brain damage is like a minute or something, you know, of like zero oxygen.
Yeah.
So I would like to say that the 3.5 rules are not as great, and that's why I like
the Pathfinder 2E rules.
I think they're more realistic.
I'm looking at them; they're so good.
They are.
All right.
I mean, let's I mean dive in just a little bit.
So when you run out of air...
This probably come up, so this is good.
Yeah.
Okay. When you run out of air, you fall unconscious and start suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
You start to recover from unconsciousness, but must attempt a DC 20 fortitude save at the end of each of your turns. On a failure, you take 1d10 damage.
Mm-hmm.
In a critical failure, you die.
Oh, punishing the crits hard. Yeah. I like that.
After the first, the DC increases by 5 and the damage by 1d10. These increases are cumulative. Once your access to air is restored, you stop suffocating and are no longer unconscious.
Mm-hmm. That's actually really
unless
good.
You are at 0 hit points.
Yeah, okay.
And so, this really makes sense because if you are very low level, you don't have much health. It's hard to hit that fortitude save. You're not an experienced adventurer. It is plausible to think that maybe you did suck in water and you go unconscious.
Right. Also, it's a rolling snowball.
Yeah.
It gets worse.
You can hold your breath for a number of rounds equal to 5 plus your constitution modifier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hardened battle warrior like Benson would be able to hold his breath pretty well. Mm-hmm. Adelar, not so much. He's not used to drowning.
Yep. Yeah.
You're not used to drowning, Adelar. Sorry.
But every time you take damage, you reduce those rounds. If you take critical hits, you reduce the rounds by 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you can quickly, if you're like in real bad danger and combat, you're very quickly in trouble. Yeah.
So it's almost like Pathfinder 2E has the game on lock when it comes to realistic rules.
It's like, it's perfect for drowning.
I often ask myself when I play games, how are the drowning mechanics?
But honestly,
I just want to make sure it's realistic because I know what's going to happen.
Zelda really messed up the drowning mechanics. That's why I don't play.
Oh yeah, it says you can't do verbal components while drowning.
That makes
sense. I don't know why.
Well,
there's a
feat for juggle, so I'm sure there's a feat for speaking underwater.
Underwater casting.
If you speak Aquan, you can not.
And that's like the funny thing is I literally can't remember what the situation was, but there was someone talking about how like, oh, in 5e, I can't do this, and it's like, oh, I wonder what like you can do with Pathfinder. So I looked at Pathfinder, and it was one of those things where. Not everyone can do it, but you can take a first level feat and be able to do the thing that they wanted to do. Yeah. So it's like, oh man, really, it's on the tip of my head. I really wish I knew what it was. I think it was, finding traps. So, like 5e's rule for finding traps like aren't like the best. So some DMs homebrewed a thing where people just get like a free wisdom check when they come in proximity, as long as it's not like a specially concealed trap.
Okay.
And 2E has a feat called Trap Finder, and that greatly increases like your passive perception on picking up on traps. So you're just kind of always on the lookout for traps. And that makes sense because it's not a broad sweeping, oh, your fighter can just get a free wisdom save to find a trap, even though it probably fail because it's a wisdom save. But it's like this person who is, you know, specialized in finding traps from level one, mind you, would already have an advantage at finding traps compared to other people.
I think it's in the thievery skill check. Like if you train yourself in thievery and get to like expert, you get like better at discovering and disabling traps. I don't think you have to just be a rogue to be good at traps.
That's true.
Just have to be good at thievery.
Yeah. But the trap finder feat specifically is for concealed traps. There are some traps that are that had like the specific tag that they're not like.
I think it's a rogue feat though.
Well, no, there are other. I'm pretty sure the investigator can take it too.
Well, the investigator is basically a rogue.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Flaw with the investigator is that they're basically a rogue.
But by the way,
I'm going to look up that feat now.
All right,
you got me called curious. Exactly. Sorry, John.
We're not throwing shade at anybody that likes 5e.
I play a
5e game. It's fun. Yeah. But the strength of Pathfinder is the fact that there's so much in the game. You can build whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Like it's so good.
Yeah. I mean, I run a 5e game every week or so with Mark and Jed and some other friends. I do like the system. I'll say that. It feels like there's blind spots in it.
Yeah.
And it was the point of Paizo when they made this that they wanted to cover all those things. I know that like 642 page core rule book or whatever it is.
It's a lot.
It's daunting, but
I could commit robbery with that.
So just get the beginner box.
Yeah.
Get two beautiful,
short,
like 90 page books. Mm-hmm. They have adventures, rules.
Yeah.
It's all dumbed down.
Yeah.
All right, really I want to defend my honor, because Kelly's like, that's only a rogue feat. Okay, Trap Finder.
You're fighting me on the rules, so you
better... You're going to
fail. I have come prepared. Okay, so like I said, Investigator has access to this, as well as Rogue, and also the Archaeologist archetype.
Everybody's taking the Archaeologist archetype.
I mean, it's awesome.
It's all I keep
It's really cool,
forms.
Because it makes a lot of sense, because... You would be well acquainted with ancient traps, you know, so you're just kind of on the lookout for traps. The archaeologist archetype is actually very, very
It's
nice.
Almost like it's good for dungeoneering.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone has to take that.
I mean, look at this. Archaeologist luck. You're more than just skillful. Your drive to find the secrets of the past manifests a strange kind of luck. Reroll the failed check and use the new result. And it's like you fail a check against a trap, such as thievery check to disable the trap or reflex save to avoid its effect. Look at that. Like, that's so cool. Can you imagine? Like, you know, you're, you know, going in the dungeon, you hit a trap. Guess what? Oh, yeah, I get to re-roll that. Like, that's awesome.
Can I roll a check to say that this intro is taking way too long?
Poor Jake mentions water one time, and we start talking about drowning. Yeah, I get into trap finding. I get a rules fight.
The problem is that as a group, we like talking to each other too much.
That's the problem with being...
It's like we're the boys.
Yeah, it's the problem with being best of friends.
That's going to be a thing. Rules fight.
Well, maybe there's a trap in that boat that you learned about from Gerhard Pendergrast.
We mentioned this off air, but we found a deed to the boat in the bag of holding.
Wow, the people are just leaving their deeds everywhere.
People are really.
It's a vehicle, it's a title, actually.
Oh, man, we have to go to the DMV.
Yeah. A fate worse than death.
Yeah, we killed him, so we have rights to the boat.
Right.
instead of going to the Church of Apadar, you go to the Church of Asmodeus. He's just like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
I really want to buy a house, so I had to kill the previous occupants in a trial by combat.
Is the catchphrase of Asmodeus hashtag seems legit?
Yeah.
Seems legit.
Is there a contract?
Yep. Yes. I like it.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, like personal theory, Gene Goblin.
Asmodeus?
Demon. Or no, devil. Devil.
Yes. Devil.
Yep.
Yes.
He was hanging out with those goblins under Hollow Knight Hill. Just
man. They're like, why is he so smart? Right? John with the fan theory.
Oh, dude, I've got a whole pin board in my upper room that you're not allowed to go into because it's too bad. And it's like, there's just wires everywhere.
Yeah,
pictures.
Yeah. It's like that meme.
Yep.
Asmodeus?
Everything's connected, bitch. John was a paladin the whole time.
Well, you guys destroyed this pillar, killed Gerhard Pendergrast, and you guys are aware of a boat down on the river just south of you.
Down by the river.
Down by the river.
Hmm. We need to go to this guy's boat.
Yep, and now let's go. Need to figure it out.
All right. So, you guys walk just due south. Like I said, if you're looking at the hex map, which you all should be.
This hex map is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah. It's nice, yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a little different. We'll go into it later, but we're using Foundry now. Because it's just way better.
And by the way, my smooth brain is not good at learning new systems, so sorry, audience, if I have to hiccup.
I mean, you can import everything from Pathbuilder.
Roll 20 does the thing,
but Foundry does it better.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like when Jake told me, he's like, oh yeah, it was only like $50. I was like, this doesn't cost like $5,000.
No, yeah, one time fee. Yeah,
you don't need a college degree to use it.
No.
So good. So good.
So you guys go south and you come across a. It's bigger than a dinghy, but it's a sizable boat that you feel like could have fit the pillar on.
That's pretty big.
Pillars, I think.
15 feet?
Yeah, like 15 feet. That's why I said bigger than a dinghy, but... Yeah,
I mean, a 20-foot boat is not a small boat.
Right.
So. Sailboat, rowboat?
Rowboat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have, like, outboard motor? Like, I'm just imagining he has it labeled in back, like, staying ripped or something.
It's a pair of goblins.
It's a good cabin.
Just two goblins kicking in the back.
It's a good cabin space. That's all we care about.
No cabin space or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
Elkwood will fashion something.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll find something.
Yeah. So you guys can use this boat to navigate the river. More importantly, as you guys walk up, you see a bundle of stuff in the bow that looks like just sort of tied up and left there for later use.
All right, Benson will go up and grab it, but he will do it cautiously.
As you pick it up, you hear what sounds like almost like metal or pottery inside of it. And it's quite heavy. Okay. As you open it, I assume you open it.
Yep. I bet this is like the contents of the temple.
Probably.
Mm. The bundle includes several golden idols of jungle animals.
Shocker.
Six idols in all, worth 25 gold pieces each.
Man, only 25.
That's a lot of money.
You said six?
Yep.
Well, I mean, where came? Does it look like it came from the temple?
These are they're different jungle animals. But you also know that he's been like going around this place taking stuff.
Refresh my memory. What was the god of that particular temple?
It was Gazra and
Desna.
Yeah,
it was a hybrid.
That would be butterfly and I don't. Gazra is
he's the wind and the waves.
They
are the wind and the waves.
Yep. Yeah, because there's the female male.
Yeah.
It's like a neutral god of nature.
My most favorite cleric I ever played was a cleric of Gazra.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun one. You also find what looks to be some sort of hand wraps. And you also find something called a thurible, which seems to radiate with magic, and a jade serpent figurine.
Ooh.
Wait, what was... Did you say a thurible?
Yeah, thurible. T-H-U-R-I-B-L-E.
Me not so good at English, not know what that is.
Is any of this magical?
You said the hand wraps?
Hand wrap.
The last
thurible. Thurible.
The last three items that I listed off seem to radiate with magic.
I will roll some arcana checks.
So, as you look over these things, which one would you like to try to identify first?
I'll go with the hand wraps first.
Hand wraps first.
Jeez. Bad.
You want to use a hero point?
14.
You have a hero point.
Yeah, use a hero point. You just got killed.
So I find some cool looking hand wraps.
Oh, wait. I have Arcana too. I forgot.
Yeah, he can do it.
I was like, I wish I was trained in Arcana. I am.
Oh, man. We're supposed to give Jake. Oh. We're supposed to give Jake.
No, I'm not doing that. I hate that rule.
We have to. It is the rules.
Paizo will come down and strike us dead.
I want to think my natural ones, my natural 20s.
Nat 20 on the hand wraps.
So you easily recognize these as plus one striking hand wraps and mighty blows. Mm-mm-mm.
Ah, so Adelar can become that, get that monk feet.
One punch! So I pick these up and I'm like,
ah, yes, I have seen an item similar to back home. There were some traveling monks of Abadar who would wear these to defend themselves. They're quite strong and useful, but I'm afraid...
Abadar. Yeah, man. Monks of Abadar.
I'm trying to imagine it.
No, it's...
I'm sure there is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got a 30 for the thurible.
Okay, so do you know what a thurible is?
No.
Okay, so you know the hanging a thurible is a metal censer suspended from chains in which incense is burned during worship services. So in Catholicism, you see them with the incense walking down the center. So this is a thurible of revelation.
Ooh.
This brass censer dangles on a length of chain. Most thuribles of revelation are adorned with a swirling celestial text, though some are iron and feature infernal or abyssal text. So this is a lesser one. Two action interact. Cost is, so there's cost that you need to put incense worth at least 5 gold pieces within it. You light the incense inside the censer and it burns for 1 hour. During that time, as long as you are holding the thurible, you gain a plus one item bonus to religion checks. And any critical failure you roll when you decipher writing of a religious nature is a regular failure instead.
Okay.
Wow. Cool. I'm guessing that Adelar is taking that.
Oh, yes.
Well, next time we need to roll religion.
He's I'm also very good at religion, but whatever.
Burn it.
I mean, then you look like one of those...
No, it's not. Okay.
Yeah, then you look like one of those paladins from Warhammer. You just have the incense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, those things are awesome.
Yeah, Kezra shows, like, you know, looks at that too, and then once you say what it is, he's like, oh, yes, I remember those as well. They look slightly different, probably used for, you know, a different god, but I know a thurible when I see one. The priests of Abadar, sometimes they would light them whenever they were settling some tax disputes. Gets pretty hard to decipher.
Heated at the summer retreats.
Like, let's just light the thurible and everyone calm down.
Everyone chill out. Everyone drink their tea.
They're like deliberating over like an estate like lawsuit.
Yeah.
Over like claims of multiple parties. Yes. Like, we need to light the thurible of revelation for this one.
Actually doing
Benson,
that right now.
I don't know if Iomade has any use for those. Did you ever use this in your worship?
It was not something that I generally used. I've seen them used, but I had a sword in my hand.
That is right.
The sword is my thurible.
But I guess if anyone doesn't mind, I'll hang on to this in case we come across any texts that are hard to decipher.
Basically, what I'm saying is they're for nerds.
You can put some pushers.
You put some sandalwood in there and just burn it and get that nice sandalwood smell.
Yeah, you take the thurible of revelations.
And there it goes.
And it has to die on the floor. Yep. First die on the floor.
15.
I can't get that.
Nope. Cannot figure that one out.
What
is it? It is a very cool looking
jade serpent
what
statue.
Would be.
It would be Arcana.
Yep. Oh, just Arcana.
Yep.
No occultism.
Cool. No occultism. Cool. Okay. Cool.
Whatever.
Do you have Arcana?
I do.
Please. You also rolled a 4.
15.
Nope.
So what did it look like again? I'm sorry.
The jade serpent.
Oh, a jade serpent.
So it looks like our jade dog, right?
That is a...
Onyx.
That's an onyx
dog.
But
yes.
it's a figurine of an animal.
Correct.
We're just going to... We'll pocket that and hopefully remember to look at it later.
It looks like Milk Ezra.
Oh. All right,
so we found a serpent dog. Serpent, jade serpent, whatever.
Serpent dog.
Yep. You find that. Let me check really quick just because to see if there's like another check. Because you know how sometimes it'll say arcana and religion or arcana and occultism. Mm-hmm, so just to check.
Probably nature, if anything.
You can identify what the snake actually is, but it doesn't. it looks
like a black adder. No, that looks like a copperhead. Gun looks like a copperhead.
We're in like PA or something right now.
I mean, we're in Galarian, so we could look like a Linorm for all we can.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow.
What do they call it? The Titanoboa? It was like a 30-foot-long boa constrictor in like the Cretaceous era or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, cool. It's huge. Look it up, Titanoboa.
No, you guys actually, you're not sure what this thing is.
That's useless. Just chuck it in the river.
I smash it.
It looks valuable, so we'll...
It does, yes, it's made of jade.
Into the bag of holding.
Yeah.
It activates, destroys the bag of holding.
Serpent of destroy bag of holding. Damn it.
So very specific.
It was just fail safe.
You also happen to find what appears to be a journal.
Yes, yes.
Give me that. Let me read that journal.
You flip through the pages. This appears to be a mostly new journal. It's clear from the few entries that are inside that Gerhard Pendergrass was here on a mission to gain wealth and fame from his discoveries.
Mm.
One of the last few entries reads as follows. Gerhard Pendergrass, Rover III, 4719. In my trip to this part of the Mwangi, I came across the most heinous act against me. It seems some ancient peoples built a temple to an old god. This, in and of itself, is not inherently wrong. I ultimately do not concern myself with the religious nature or practices of a bygone civilization, which you know is not true, because they just moved. However, some years ago, before I started my expeditions here, I wrote a treatise on Mwangi history that included nothing of the sort. The temple is a stain on my reputation. I'm more willing to believe that this is some sort of forgery created by some other unscrupulous academics in my field. Someone wishes to tarnish my good name. Some old chap really went out of his way to make sure I would be ruined. The slight against me and my work is not foolproof, however. This structure is precariously perched upon a cliffside. I was smart when I came here to investigate the rumors spreading about of this place. I brought my very own tools to, quote, fix any kind of contradiction to my writing.
Oh my God.
3 barrels of black powder will make the most incredible display of my work. I will not be brought down by someone using cheap tricks to fabricate the past. We will set up camp here for the night and use it as a hub for our trips into the surrounding jungle. Mark my words, though. When I return, I will find whoever set up this elaborate ruse and pushed their entire life and their work into the mud. I will spend all I need to on the greatest Abadarian lawyers there are. Down at the bottom, P.S. One of my scouts came back late last night and informed us of a strange sight to the west. He mentioned a strange jungle totem that radiated with a magical blue hue. This might be my greatest find this week. We will head there in the morning and collect our spoils. This very well could be our last trip to the Mwangi. Signed, famed scholar, daring archaeologist, noble man of history, Gerhard Pendergrass.
A.K.A. Thick Nigel.
I'm not even sad we killed this guy.
I know. Yeah.
I was attempting to profit off of the culture of another peoples, but the clap of my ass cheeks keeps alerting the tribes.
And little did he know that it was his last trip to the Mwangi.
Indeed.
Very apt.
I'm glad that we were able to thwart his plan. I didn't realize it was so devious. Elkwood, you are a good judge of character. I'm glad we can rely on you about these things, because who knows what other unscrupulous people will find out here, looking to profit off of other people's.
Oh, and he spits on the ground.
How dare.
Kez was like, I don't get it.
Kez was like, yeah, I guess he was kind of a scumbag.
Well, he was trying to, you know, take out mine.
You're pocketing the golden sculptures. Right.
Yeah, that's actually, like, until, like, picked it up and goes, so, what is this exactly? And he, like, he has he took the blunderbuss off of him, but he's just, like, looking at it. He's like, so, what, do you just point and shoot, or?
I mean, my family has made weapons for a very long time, but I've never seen anything like that.
Yes, Kezra, what is your take on this?
All I can say is that it looks like it requires black powder. I know about the explosive substance, but I've not come into contact with such mechanisms like this that seem to weaponize it. But the best I can tell, it creates an explosion within this barrel and launches the horrible projectiles at us.
Do any of your characters might have come by, like, Numeria or Alkenstar or anything like that?
I mean, that's always possible for Benson.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Kezra, who is well-trained in crafting, he spent his time in the Intersea region, so he would have been to Absalom, which definitely has, like, clockwork inventions, and he might have run across some black powder stuff. But most of his time was spent around those areas, which I don't think are flooded with
guns,
firearms.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely not Alkenstar.
I'm pretty sure, though, last time we talked about this in character, I think Kezra did notice that, like, it's dangerous to wield.
It's weird.
Unpredictable. Like, he definitely knows it's black powder. He knows that it's, like, an advanced mechanism. But he would need more time to kind of, like, wrap his head around it.
Yep.
So Benson's just gonna be like, we have time to play with the toys later. We have to get across this river.
Well, I think we were still headed west, right? There is this ominous skull on the map, and I'm quite curious that whatever the threat may be, we should probably try to clear it out.
Yes, due to some divine reason, I totally forgot there was a skull on the map.
Skull would mean danger, usually.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because Kelly texted and it was like, I'm excited to get to that skull.
I want that skull. Yeah,
that probably means a good thing, right?
Well, like, it's terrible because, like, we got this map, and then Hazel leaves, and then we see, like, skull. It's like, man, it would have been nice to ask her about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it turns out the skull means that's the only location of the only Chuck E. Cheese in the Milwaukee Expanse, guys. Let's go.
Odd signifier for Chuck E. Cheese.
They got a couple thousand years to get it right.
The Santa Claus were all Karens, and they had, like, one bad experience. I hope this place is dead.
You know,
I have to go out of business.
Scythe means Dave and Buster's.
Oh, speaking of Chuck E. Cheese, one of my new favorite places is, like, this Lebanese restaurant near the Chuck E. Cheese in Annapolis. And I went there to pick up food the other day, and there was someone being ambulanced out of the Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, no.
And I can only imagine what that means.
Wow.
I was like, that's a very interesting sight.
A murder in the ball pit.
There's like a bunch of kids being picked up by, like, their stepdad or something. I was like, this is really sad, but also really weird.
Yeah.
Because it's the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. not the place you expect or hope to see an ambulance.
At the place of fun.
So basically, the skull's probably really fun and great for us. Let's go.
Yeah.
It is... I finally put a calendar in. So you guys got to Gerhard's... would have been spoil of the blue pillar in the afternoon. So unless you guys want to walk around at night...
Nope.
Yep, I thought so. So you guys should bed down.
Kezra's like out of spells.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that last fight was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the interesting thing is? How close we actually are to Ackville, too.
Yeah.
Like, I was just thinking, I was like, go up north.
Yeah, no, we've like, gone full circle, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're, like, almost completely below the temple of whatever it was.
Temple of Kedephis.
Temple of Kedephis that we arrived in when we came to the Mwangi.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of like, we kind of make this, like, big circle. Mm-hmm. But that also means there's, like, 10 hexes
they're just
in
there.
This, like, lake we've created on the hex map.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm up for 100% completion rate.
So, yeah, let's head to that skull.
Okay. Well, you guys want to sleep first?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, let's sleep first.
Yeah. Benton goes off on his own.
Yep, just running.
Dies horribly.
He doesn't die. He just, everyone's trying to attack him while he sleeps.
Yeah.
No, see, Benton just has to find a door, because it's Dark Souls 3 rules. You're opening a door, you can't be hit.
And I was up doing that whenever, you know, you like keep throwing yourself at a boss, and then it's like someone would always invade you right before like Ornstein and Smough.
Yeah.
And so you just like run past everything and run up to the fog door, and the one person just goes up and like he tries to do like a thrust attack to hit you, but you just go right through the door. And
then, suck it, nerd.
I'm being a coward. I'll go die to the boss again.
Yeah.
Then die to you. Okay, so go ahead and make me a survival check to try to figure set up camp for the night. You guys are on the shoreline too, so you can be right there and try to just bed down for the night.
Natural one.
Nice.
Oh boy.
All right. That would be a natural 19.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, re-rolling on her. Okay.
I was trying to roll. I can't even. Where the hell is?
I rolled a natural 19 for 28.
Yeah.
Okay. That is
natural 2.
Even with the absolute failures from Kezra and Benson.
Like, Kezra, maybe we should leave this to Oakwood.
Just burn out.
I think we should make camp in the river.
They'll never expect it.
No one will attack us in the water.
Our tent floats.
I remember seeing something a while ago that it was a blow up tent that you could like put on the river.
Yeah.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
That sounded terrible. Maybe a lake.
Right, yeah.
Not even a lake.
I still wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I mean,
I gotta go out. Like, you'll forget. Like, you have to use the bathroom like late at night.
Yeah, that was my thing, because everyone was like, "You just float down the river." It's like you can just tie yourself off to a tree.
Yeah,
yeah, but like, if your tie breaks, it's still not safe. It's not a good idea.
What happens when a shark attacks?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like a natural evolution water.
There's lake sharks.
The freshwater.
Anyway,
all I'm hearing from this is that Timmy is not as adventurous as us.
Yes. And I will live longer because of it.
Live less fun. Come on, anyway.
Less fun.
Turn over in your sleep, pocket knife pierces right through the bottom.
Oh my gosh.
We'll revisit this argument on your deathbed.
Don't you wait. No. All right. I'm moving on. You guys wake up in the morning. And as you guys are packing up camp and getting everything together, Elkwood, you notice as you're sort of scouting out the area in the morning, you see what looks like a trail of blood.
Ugh.
Like just appeared at camp?
No, and a little ways off.
Okay.
But,
oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you see what looks to be some kind of trail of blood.
So this is exactly when, though? Like, as soon as we wake up and scout? Or
yeah, so in 8 or 9 a.m., you know.
We're moving, right?
What?
We find it while on the move.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, this is right after Adelar makes up the bacon and, you know, smell of
hay. What about second breakfast?
Benson needs his protein. So sees the blood and goes, halt for a moment. There seems to be something ahead, and he's going to stealth then.
Okay. Go ahead and, make me a stealth or a survival to try to follow.
That would be a 28. On stealth. Yes. That was beautiful.
Okay. And then make me make me a survival to sort of track it.
Sure, that's not my best.
You're a ranger.
Apparently I didn't build it correctly. I went into more rogue stuff instead. So that is a 17 on die for a plus 9 on that, so that would be a 26. I would say.
You're city boy.
I am a city boy.
City ranger.
City ranger.
Hey, I was a city ranger.
I
have more knowledge in society.
My favorite terrain is McDonald's.
would you get, sir?
26 on survival.
26 on survival is a critical success.
Holy shit.
There's even certain spots where the trail stops, but your keen eyes are able to see where a drop of blood here and a little streak there. And you eventually follow it to it goes in the woods and then back out, and then you eventually come to a little bit farther down the river. In which you find a man with he's very tall, long dreads, and he appears to be dragging a massive sack with him, and it is pooling with blood, and you now see where that was coming from.
Okay.
And he's slowly just like dragging this thing just.
He doesn't notice me.
Jake, why is the picture of the man a picture of Richard Sherman?
He is, in fact, played by Richard Sherman of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, I just saw
okay.
it.
Okay. Awesome and weird.
Alright, so he... So, I would be
ahead. Yeah, you're still ahead.
Yeah, let me move my pawn up a little bit. Yep. But I am stealthing. So,
he clearly...
doesn't notice me?
No. So, okay, yeah. So, you went ahead. Whoop. So, let me go.
I teleported. Okay.
What the fuck is Vermeer's picture?
We still haven't figured out or to update that.
Yeah, the
So, he is using the goblin token.
Yeah, right, it's just like the basic
token. So, he's
token
a flying goblin.
Okay.
So, as you get closer, you see that the bag that he has and whatever is inside it is big. Let me go ahead and see if he sees you at all.
Does he move? Like, is the bag, like, it's just completely still? It's not like...
Yeah. It's completely still. But, you know, something is clearly in there because of the fact that it's bleeding everywhere.
So it's a fresh kill.
It's tomato sauce.
Ketchup.
Making a lot of lasagna.
I can't hold this spaghetti in my bags.
I just can't get over the picture of Richard Sherman.
I had no idea who it was. So.
I was wondering if you would notice because
I think I'm the only real football fan here. So.
Yes.
I mean,
so is he built like a big football player or is it?
He's a cornerback.
Okay.
Strong and lean.
Yeah.
Typically.
He does not see you as you are approaching. He is clearly just like walking backwards with this thing, just
struggling. Like he's like struggling.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's just don't keep stealthing towards because he's curious. Like he, you said he like is tall, dreads, like elf almost or no?
Nope. He looks human.
Yeah. He's gonna keep moving. Oh, that's a match. That's an 8 for 24.
I mean, you know, not the worst thing.
Well, no, 25. Yeah, 25. Sorry, it's a 17.
Okay. So he seems to hear a rustling, and he looks up, and he goes, "Hello."
Hello.
Strange meeting someone here in the woods.
Yes, I would say the same. What to... Well, I'm just taking a stroll and along the riverbank, and I spot some blood, and I see this bloody sack.
Oh, well, you see, this was going to be my dinner. I was hunting a large bird.
Oh, a large bird. I see. It's... And, like, he's, like, looking at the sack and just, like... Like, how... You say he's struggling with it, so I'm like, how big is this damn thing?
It looks like a medium creature.
Oh,
like
wow.
A very large bird.
Big bird?
That is quite a big bird. Oh, did you just get it this morning, I'm taking? It seems quite fresh.
Bit of a struggle in the night, but I managed to subdue it. I'm taking it back.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware... Well, I mean, I wasn't aware of any... Where are you actually from?
I'm a local in this area.
Oh.
But if you don't mind, I need to... get home.
Oh, and where's home for you?
Just up that way. See? If you look. And then he just points sort of absently into the woods.
Mm-hmm. West, east, north?
West. He's dragging it west, so.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Towards the skull?
Skull's on the other side of the river.
Okay. That's why I thought we were trying to go across the river.
Oh. Yeah,
but then sense. I got distracted with a bloody sack.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, well, I guess we're actually heading your direction as well, if you don't mind.
You know, I do.
Hmm.
I don't want people to know where I live, so strangers, you know, the place is dangerous.
Oh yes, with all the cultists around, I believe that.
So and, I'm going to go home now.
Yes.
Out of
I see that. And just like, I don't know what type of check to even like after talking to him, like
you can do like a perception,
yeah,
like, to see if he's lying about something.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah, you want to try to perceive.
18 on die.
Yeah. Pretty solid.
That would be plus 30. So, that'd be a 31.
He seems like he really wants to get away from you because either he doesn't trust you or he seems like he's just trying to get away. You can't tell why, but he really, really doesn't want to talk about this.
Hmm. Okay. I'm just... You know, it's the first person... Well, actually, no. But yeah, it's actually... I would say you're the first person we've seen in a while, but we just dealt with someone else that's acting shady, so I'm just trying to get a level of if you're a friend or foe in this, but I'd like to believe we could be friends.
How's this? I will give you my name. It is Itoro.
Itoro?
I am a local here, but... I cannot provide too much aid, especially right now, as he continues dragging. He's moving very slowly away from you. If you find me later, I would be happy to help you with this. And you see that a feather that was on his that was on his side seems to fall down. If you would like, you can try to examine the feather.
Yeah.
Figure out what kind of bird this is.
That would be a 20.
A 20.
That's a bird.
Is that a nature check?
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
It's knowledge bird law.
Bird law. A 20. That is not a bird feather.
What? Was that a raptor? Are we dealing with some Jurassic Park stuff?
Is it a Tengu feather?
No, that would still be bird.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. This doesn't seem to be bird or avian-like. It seems to be feather.
God, I immediately assume it would be a bird, but...
I feel like at this point, you know, you kind of stopped, you're talking, you're picking up a feather. I feel like the rest of us would kind of see it, you're chatting, and maybe we'd, like, start to make our approach.
Yeah. I'm like, hail and well met. We have not seen a friendly soul in this jungle for a while. What pray tell are you doing out here?
Just... getting my dinner.
All right, yes, Elkwood, I haven't heard too much of your conversation, but we just came across some unscrupulous fellows, so we are actually emissaries of some sort from the Ikuje elves. I don't know if you are familiar with them.
As you say, Ikuje shudders a little bit. Hmm. Oh, yes, the Ikuje. Yes, I'm aware of them. I haven't seen them in a while. How are they doing?
Why, they are doing quite well, actually. They're, you know...
I thought they might have died. Usually they scour these lands.
They're trapped in their city because they're being blinded when they leave, so I wouldn't call that well, Adelar.
Yes, Kezra. And he just kind of rolls his eyes.
No, they're fine. No.
I would say they're doing well despite their circumstance, which we will not divulge to this stranger.
Oh. I didn't realize we were lying.
We're not lying. We're just withholding... Never mind.
We're withholding... withholding the truth.
Well, while you all figure out what lying is, I'm going to head home. Continues dragging.
Real quick, Benson's going to look it out. Do we want to stop this guy?
And you said you... What is in that sack exactly?
It's a bird from here in the Mwangi.
Tell me, what bird from the Mwangi? I'm quite familiar with the...
nature.
With the nature of the animals around these.
I would be willing to buy most of the feathers on that beast. Oh. I have family members that value exotic bird feathers in this area quite highly. May I take a look, sir?
No, thank you. To tell you what kind of bird it is, to be honest, you probably know more than me. I simply found this large bird and struggled a bit to take it down, but put quite a fight. You see, he's got like a few cuts on him.
Hmm.
Yes, it's just...
If you want to examine the feather, you can do that.
Yeah, well, like I already did that, and you said
it's not bird.
It's not a That's bird no feather.
Kevin's just gonna like approach the guy.
Yeah,
30 on the feather.
30 on the feather. you realize that this is not a avian feather. This looks to be this looks to be more celestial.
Oh.
Oh, weird.
This
oh,
is no.
It is a orange, almost crimson like feather that belongs to no bird, but you realize it to be celestial in nature.
God, I didn't even think of that.
Tell me, Benson, are you familiar with celestial beasts bearing feathers?
I've heard of some. Friend, as he pulls his sword out, stop moving, please. And I intimidate.
He sort of takes his hands off the bag. He says, listen, I'm clearly a match to you. Perhaps we could make an occult. I was going to devour this being, but what if I told you that doing so gave you a great boon?
What being is it? Show us.
It's not a bird, that's for sure.
He looks at you, clearly sees you in your holy garb, and goes, it's not for everyone, as he looks at everyone else.
Casually, my friends seem to be apprehensive about letting you go. How about you reveal what is in the sack?
But only if you think about the offer that I'm providing to you. And he opens it up, and you see this creature.
I was about to say, if this is what I think it is, and it's, he killed it,
it's
we're
a
not...
Pegasus. What? It's probably a Pegasus, right?
That'd be pretty fucked up.
Also,
that would be fucked up.
Big.
But you see this thing come out of the sack.
Oh!
An ace?
This is humanoid.
Yeah. This looks to be a humanoid-like angel.
Oh my gosh.
I think we're about to kill this guy.
If you want to make a religion check, you can. Ooh. On the angel that it is.
So, the picture he showed us is a... brown-skinned man with giant red angel wings and red, basically a red robe. Kind of toga or robe.
And golden eyes, too.
And golden eyes. Yeah. It's fucking cool as shit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I got a 31 for religion.
Yes, you know that is a my angel.
Oh, my God.
So...
You say you have slain this angel?
Well, hold on. Let me give you the background.
Okay, yeah.
Choral angels are incredible singers who fill the halls of Nirvana with pious and sacred hymns.
Oh my gosh.
They form from the souls of talented bards and other performers. While they shy away from conflict, they occasionally brave the mortal realm to deliver good omens and auspicious message. Choral angels often serve the goddess Shaylin, but they can also serve other good deities and imperial lords.
Wow.
This is a good creature.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
You have rid this world of a great messenger and a beautiful singer at that. I advise you step away so we can give this poor creature a proper burial.
He puts his hands out, claws come out, and he goes, I can't let you do that. This is my kill, and I will devour it.
And you shall be our kill.
As Benson
screams out.
And go on.
Uses intimidation to roll with initiative.
Yes!
And he transforms as well.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Into this creature.
Oh my.
So
what?
Like a were creature?
Dark skinned man. Long dreads. He has a nice shirt, actually. It's sort of white with like a gold trim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's...
Except the back of his head looks like a fucking hyena is sticking out of it.
What?
The hell? Cool.
Claws extend from his fingertips, and he just...
It's a null werewolf.
Holy
shit, that's so cool.
Let's go ahead and roll for initiative.
Yes!
Yeah, like...
Oh, I'm so excited.
Okay.
Can I use my knowledge of religion for my initiative?
Yeah, actually, because you figuring out the feather, figuring out the seeing it's an angel. Oh, I imagine your faith is propelling you into the combat anyway.
Being able to use my intimidation to roll is so good.
Yes.
All right, let me go ahead and roll. Let me go ahead and get everyone's initiative here.
23. Oh, that's actually a high roll for you.
Yeah,
Kale got a 23.
Yeah, he ran off to go to the bathroom probably and got a
23. He'll probably still go last.
Benson, what did you get?
29.
Ooh.
Whoa, okay. Okay.
I know.
Elkwood?
I would say since I was using stealth primarily.
You were stealthing at this point.
No, so that'd be a 24 then.
24. Okay. Adler?
31.
Damn it. Even want to get a plus 17 to those.
Like, no. I want to go first. Like, this is good. This is good that I go first.
And hopefully. The creature did not do bad.
I want to know what the hell this thing is.
You will probably find out, because Adelar's going first.
All right. Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, what's he doing?
I accidentally put an aura when I just wanted to measure distance.
Oh.
Free action aura?
Happens to everybody.
Free action aura?
All right, so Adelar is very, very perturbed, by this whole situation, and he just, sees the blood that, is pooling around this creature, and he calls out, "As the blood has unjustly flowed from this body, may blood flow from yours," and he casts Blood Spray Curse. I need you to make
what?
A fortitude save.
Okay.
Blood Spray Curse.
Fortitude.
Yep.
I got a 19.
Ooh, that is a fail.
Juicy fail.
Juicy fail. So, for 1 minute, the first time each round that the target takes at least 10 piercing or slashing damage from a single strike, it takes additional 2d6 additional damage. But because you failed...
Blood, wait, there's more.
Persistent, right?
When it takes the additional damage, it also takes 2d6 persistent bleed damage. Jeez. So I called this curse, and nothing happens right away.
Yeah.
What's the damage that needs to be done slashing for it to activate? Oh, so that's basically free activation for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, so for me too.
Anyone does 10 piercing or slashing, I do 4d6 damage. 2d6 that apply right away, and then the 2d6 persistent.
So he is already cursed.
He is already cursed.
First round.
But he doesn't know. You.
And then with the last action, Brenson, may Abadar guide your blade. Not blast. What is it called?
Guidance.
And that's my turn.
Okay. That was your turn. It is its turn.
Oh, damn. That rolled high. Yeah, they rolled high.
It is going to... oh, man. It can do quite a few things here. So,
I'm sure nothing AoE worthy.
No, but it is going to sudden charge directly at Adelar.
No! Not Adelar!
Yeah, that's...
Not poor sweet Adelar.
Whoop!
Oh, you're within range of Benzin, though.
So. Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
So it strides. They end their movement within melee reach of at least one enemy. They can make a strike against that enemy.
Why? I just cursed you.
Give yourself plus 2 to your AC for being within 5 feet of me.
Oh!
So its first action that it took, it actually spun its head around.
Oh, that's so weird.
Oh.
I love it.
To the hyena head. Oh. So as it's charging, the head just...
Get it away.
Get away from me. So it is going to reach out with its jaws and try to bite your face off. And I got a 23.
Because I am close to Benson, yes. Benson reaches out his shield and bashes it away at the last second.
I'm like, that's that paladin shit.
So as you hit it, bong. all right, that was its turn.
It runs its snout. It's like...
Okay. After that, Benson.
Well, this thing conveniently moved up to 5 feet, so I guess I'm just going to swing 3 times. Sorry, Jake.
Oh, you know.
I thought we were rolling on the app, so I didn't get my phone, or I didn't get my dice.
Oh,
so.
You're good. You can have my dice.
Seven on the die. So, plus 16. So that's 23.
Miss.
Unfortunate.
Wait, 24. Because it's a plus one for guidance.
Miss.
Oh my gosh.
All right, swing for the fences. Oh, minus man, 5. Man. 15 on the die for... so 26.
That is a hit.
Okay.
2d8.
All you have to do is 10 damage to get that extra...
That's not that hard to do with a 2d6 plus whatever.
14 points of damage.
Yes.
Is that 2d8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you said that's what I did.
I was wrong.
What?
I was wrong. All right, so...
He takes an additional 7 points of damage. And on his turn, I will try to remember, he'll take 9 points of bleed damage.
Oh,
that's insane.
Dude, this is insane. It's so crazy. And okay. For my last action, I will raise my shield.
Yes. All right. Elkwood.
Okay. Elkwood, he is going to... 5, 5, 10. Yeah, with one move action. Oh, God. Here.
Okay.
He's going to second action, hunt prey.
All right, so you slide up directly behind it.
Yeah.
And so you're now flanking with Adelar. Yep.
Yes.
My fist.
Dude, you should have got those hand wraps.
Yeah,
on
yeah, you just punched it.
And he's going to swing out as quick draw with his Elvis Curb Blade. And that would be a 24 to hit. I don't know with flanking.
Because it is because you're flanking, it is hit.
Beautiful.
Whoa. All
right, that's 3d8. Where's my other 8? That's an 8. That's a 2. That's pretty good. That's 8, a 7, and a 2.
Damn.
So that would be 8, 9, 10, 17, and then plus strength modifier, so it'd be 22 points of damage. Plus my weapon expertise skill.
Alright, I don't like this, but continue.
Yeah, so that's all he can do.
Okay.
But then that means Vamir, he is going to come over here.
I always forget about your fucking bird. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I hate this thing.
Yeah, he's going to use 45 feet of movement to move over here, so he'd be flanking with Benson.
Love it.
We're just going to surround him with one action. That's a 17 on the die. So that'd be a 29 to hit.
That is a hit.
Or, and plus flanking. So that is also 3d8. 5, 4, 5, 9 plus 6. So that'd be 15. And plus 3, so 18.
18 points of damage?
Yup.
Alright. Okay.
So, and that would be the end of that.
Thank goodness. Alright.
But then it's Kezra's turn,
yes,
I believe.
So, Kezra.
Kezra says, "Submit, friend. You cannot win." And he points his finger at him, and like a nasty greenish-black ray fires from his hand.
Okay.
And it hits him, and he has to roll a fortitude save.
Gosh.
Okay.
For some reason, I was like, disintegrate!
Yeah, no, that's what I thought, too.
Hold on. Oh, it's an attack roll. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I that was my next thing. Right. So.
That has to hit.
So that will be a 30.
That is a hit.
Ooh,
so,
yes!
My fortitude save was a 27.
So you are enfeebled 1.
Yes.
Oh.
A ray of enfeeblement.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Let's throw that condition on there. Enfeebled 1.
Throw that condish.
Yep. All right.
And then with my last action. Too much. Yeah, he'll stay. Actually, he'll move over to the angel body. Why not?
That's Kezra eats the body.
Mine now.
I just want first dibs on if it's carrying anything.
It's just carrying a robe. Well, I'll take the robe. Looks comfortable.
Get my robe now.
That's Nirvana robe.
Top of round 2, Adelar.
I love how, because you rolled like not bad for, you know, you, but you still win at last, ironically enough.
I know. I actually rolled like a 14 on initiative and I still won last.
Yeah.
Rolled over a 10. That's something. Yeah,
this is what it is.
It going last isn't bad because you everyone takes their turn and then you can figure out like
that's
where
true.
They're gonna go next mm-hmm. and stuff. So.
You know, it's mm-hmm. a funny thing because even with 5e and Pathfinder 2e, it's like clerics have high wisdom and that's like helps your initiative. But it's like as a cleric, you don't always want to go first.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes
in my case,
delay.
I do.
Yeah, Adelar is your turn.
All right, so he laughs. He's like, "Ha! You thought you could best us this easily? I will make you regret coming near me." And he reaches out with a hand, and as he just needs to touch him for a second,
uh-huh.
And I need you to make a will save.
Okay, so you need to make a touch deck roll.
No. Wow, really?
Yeah. Cool. I don't need a touch attack roll. Nothing. It's just the range is touch.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. I understand.
Oh.
Yep.
So a will save?
Yep.
I will happily roll that.
Oh, no.
26.
All right. So that is a success. But even with a success, the creature feels a little bit of regret. And at the end of its next turn, the target will take 1d8 damage per different creature it intentionally damages. So from the more creatures it attacks, the more damage it takes.
Okay, so for some reason he just goes, oh, eating an angel. Ah!
No, he just regrets like coming up and messing with me.
Messing with you specifically. Yeah.
All right, and I'll be like, I'll go to take Abaddon's guidance, and you get a guidance, and you get a guidance.
Like, what? Oh, okay. Still don't know what this thing is.
A new forward guidance?
It is going to take a step to get away from Elkwood and Vamir.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now pretty much flanking with Benson, if that were possible.
Right.
Benson is...
Benson was evil the whole time!
Benson, take it out! Why aren't you taking it out? Benson,
I really like Angel, okay?
It's going to open its hyena jaws that was now on the front of its head, human face on the back of its head, and it is going to try to bite your face off again. Come on.
I still want to know what the hell this thing is.
That is a 38.
Wow.
That's a crit.
Yep.
That's a really big crit.
What was that?
That's a crit.
That's a crit on top of my shield bonus.
That's a crit on top of a crit.
That's a double crit. I don't know how this happens.
Double crit.
That is 26 points of damage.
Damn.
You can't retribute a strike.
Where are the cards?
No, it wasn't a natural 20.
That's scary.
That's still scary.
Also, he takes 9 points of bleed damage as the wound just starts gushing. He exerts himself, and he, you know, breaks open.
And he dies.
So as he latches onto your face, and he just, blood gushes out, he's just like, what did you do?
I cursed you, you foul beast.
He's going to take his last action to grab.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So you guys all see him put his mouth on Amador's face, crit him, and he is now not letting go.
And he also takes 5 points of damage as he just regrets biting me.
Oh, I feel bad, my man. Come on, man.
Oh, you don't have that sweet, tasty angel
and
meat.
As he does it, and blood gushes everywhere, he goes, freeze frame. Yeah, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah! And then as a reaction,
what else are you doing? What are you doing?
You've done like, I know he takes this damage, and he takes this damage, I know and he what takes he's... this
Timmy,
damage.
Timmy, there are 3 actions around.
Actually, no, I won't do this. I won't do this. Never mind. You do get a free save to try to recover from that that bleed.
Oh, okay. That's right. So just a... Oh, is it just a flat check?
Yep, flat check. Bleed. Got to hit a 15 or higher, flat.
15, 17, so he's no longer bleeding.
Alright, then I will activate...
Well, at is saving against persistent damage.
Gotcha!
DC 15! You're never gonna get this! It's always the first round.
Yeah, right.
Is he still under the curse, though, like if we hit him again?
Yeah,
like,
he's under the... Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So we can keep it going.
I can just keep proccing?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You just keep getting bleed damage.
I don't like that.
I love it.
I don't enjoy it.
I think that what's abundantly clear is that our party has abused so many rules and possible spells.
We went through abusing rules. All
right. Benson's your turn.
So Benson is going to stride.
Oh, absolutely.
He can get right here.
Oh, he can flank in one move.
Okay, you're going to go to the other side of it to flank again with Adelar. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But second action, he will scream... Benson now knows he's fighting something that is wholly evil.
Yeah.
Benson has been let off his chain.
Mm-hmm.
He is screaming, just, get back here! And he will make an intimidation attempt to demoralize. Because more debuffs,
yes,
please.
Yes.
I like how you say, Benson's, knows he's evil, and he wants to be left the chain, and just looking at Kezra, and...
Yeah, well, Kezra's useful.
Oh, no, this hyena man
that
looks cool.
That was a 30.
A 30...
Should be against his will, DC.
That is a...
Please be a crit.
There's a critical, actually.
Oh, what?
That's good.
So he becomes, what, frightened two?
Yep.
Wow.
And I will use my very last action to swing.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible roll on the swing. Feels so bad, man. The total's only 21.
But you're flanking, and he's frightened and enfeebled.
He's like, frightened two.
Frightened two.
Frightened two. Does frightened reduce the AC? Because
it reduces everything.
Okay. Yeah, reduces. Right. So it reduces.
So because you're flanking, because he's frightened, that is just a hit.
Oh my goodness!
And I will say, I actually used the wrong number, and I should have done more damage last round.
Oh.
But you know, hands off the chess piece and such.
I do want to look up if a grabbed creature can flank.
I feel like.
Oh, I think so, but yeah, look that up.
Yeah, I don't see anything against it.
Yeah, but...
That is 14 points of damage, because I actually...
And?
Ooh, 14 points of damage or so.
Ah!
six extra.
Okay.
As his wound just reopens. Wait, and then on his turn... Oh, on his turn, he's going to take 11 points of bleed.
Oh my god. Almost box scores.
No!
Dude, it's like you're playing a warlock in Burning Crusade. Wow, just all that dot damage.
You can kill
the warlock, but he's got all his dots on you. You're gonna die.
Yeah, yeah. When you walk away and you're like, oh man, all these statuses are getting me.
Abadar's Why am I still dying?
Abadar's my patron.
Okay. So that was Benson's turn, Elkwood.
Okay. First, Vamir is going to fly with his 45 movement speed. Mm-hmm. Over on this side.
Oh, yeah.
Elk is going to step here. So, making a nice little...
Yep.
Like a box here.
Yeah, you guys have cornered the hell out of him right now.
Good.
right on the edge of the river.
And he is going to first strike out with his blade. Because, I wonder exactly what he meant by boons. But I guess it doesn't matter right now. That's a 3, so that's a freaking mess. Because that'd be a 20. No. Yeah, that would be a miss. That's a 19. Sorry.
Okay. All right, miss on that.
He's on swing again. Would there be a check to even identify him?
There would be.
Do you have enough actions for it?
I would have one action left.
Sweet.
Let me see. So, actually, make a nature?
Okay, not my complete best, but... No.
Nope, okay.
So that'd be a last action there, and Vamir is going to strike.
Go, Vamir, go.
No.
Ah. Yeah, I really thought you'd take it up.
No, that would be a 20 total.
Yikes.
So.
Yep, nope. Not doing it.
Even if he's frightened too and 20.
Yep. So. Mm-hmm. Kezra, it's your turn.
Kezra lifts the staff, and the avian skull eyes begin to glow
as he casts Fireball. I can take you all out.
Five of them. As a fireball, meaning a flaming sphere, appears on his square.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right.
And he must roll a reflex save.
Which is bad.
Frightened does affect a reflex.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
Right,
nice too.
That'd be funny shit, though. I'm just like, and a fireball. I can take them all out.
All right. So, frightened two, add that in there. And.
Dick would only be in my way.
28.
Nice. All right. He is fine, but there is a fireball in his square.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
It doesn't do half damage. It's just
not flaming sphere.
Yeah, it's
a very low level.
Yeah, but top of round 3, Adalar.
Oh man, so I'm grabbed.
Yep.
Okay,
you
I don't
can still
like
hit him.
Wait,
that.
Wait.
Oh wait,
I still have an action.
Oh
wait, yeah, there's more.
I'm going to search the angel body.
You find a very nice, yet albeit bloody toga.
Cool. I leave it on the creature.
You're gonna start changing in the middle of combat.
As you do look at it, it appears to be alive.
Oh! You even failed at killing this thing.
Gosh. Interesting.
Wow.
We have really just constructed a box of death around this thing.
Yeah, I know.
Could have got that sweet angel meat.
Sweet angel meat.
Episode I've ever heard.
I was literally thinking, like, none of us can in good conscience eat this angel, but Vamir can.
Oh yeah,
it's a vulture. It's just natural,
right?
Well, the thing is, like, if he's an angel, like, wouldn't he die and like just kind of
ascend,
dissipate or something?
Like, yeah, maybe that's why he couldn't kill him all the way.
Yeah,
that's so messed up.
Yep.
Ugh. But it's so smart.
Adelar, your turn. Come on.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay, I am going to try, because I'm grabbed, I have to make a check, but I'm going to try to cast a Sanctuary on myself.
Oh. Okay.
So I have to beat a flat five. If I beat the fat flat five. All right, so I got a 17 on a die. I make it. That means I touch myself, and I'm like,
he's like,
Yabada, provide your sanctuary. Upon
I realize
me.
He's Frenching your face right now, but let's keep it on. We're fighting.
He's like biting your face and licking.
Yeah.
All right. So you cannot attack me unless you get a will save off. You can pass the will save.
Interesting. Yep. Okay. All right.
I got one more action left. I'm going to try to... You didn't identify him, did you?
No.
I'm going to try to identify him.
It is a nature.
He is higher.
30.
30?
You're so good at nature, you silly boy.
I have...
He read a lot of books.
Big boy rolls help, too.
Yep. Yeah. This is known as a Kishi. You realize after you look inside of its throat. Kishis are...
It's the only way he's ever seen one before.
Right, yeah. It was in biology class. Kishis are duplicious and murderous fae who dwell on the edges of Galarian's densest jungles.
Oh.
At first glance, Kishis appear to be attractive humans, usually of local ethnicity. Mm. But their heads of thick hair conceal a second face, that of a snarling hyena.
So is Dredd's part and then the hyena's face.
Exactly.
All right.
When a Kishi lures their prey into a vulnerable situation, their head swivels around, revealing their fearsome visage.
Oh, man.
In this form, a Kishi's powerful jaws are almost impossible to pry loose and can crush a victim's bones in a matter of moments.
Oh,
just
crap.
Like a real hyena.
Ah. Oh crap, Adelar!
So it goes into more of that, but what abilities do you want to know from this thing?
It's fey. Does that mean it's like weak to cold iron and stuff like that?
It does have weakness to cold iron.
Okay. Mm. Alright.
If only we had a cold iron sword.
I know.
If only we had a Magus.
Well, actually, one of my advanced domain is I can change something into a different metal.
Oh,
so
shit.
One day I might be able
to
do that.
Dude, you're like a Swiss Army knife.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's like next level, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Advanced domain.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah. So you know that this thing has a weakness to cold iron. I'll also give you this one because it was a critical success. Oh. It is resistant to piercing.
It is resistant to piercing. Good. Switch your damage type.
I did. Slashing. I'm using my sword.
Yes. Oh.
Good job, everyone.
I mean, I can change my sword to a spear.
Right.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Just don't do that.
Don't do that.
I think the only thing that affected that was Vimir's piercing.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Yep. So if you accounted that from the
I did.
Okay, good. Good, just keeping honest.
Yep. So now, is that the end of your turn?
Yes.
Okay.
He crushes your head. Yep.
So now you take 11 points of bleed.
Oh. I hate this so much. All right.
It genuinely is.
Like, every time he opens up with a tune, I'm just like,
it very rarely like works because things have such good like checks.
Yeah,
but when it does, it's so punishing.
It snowballs so hard.
This is a level 4 spell. Like, it's expensive.
Yeah. Anyway, so this thing is going to. So it has a constrict ability with its jaws that it has you in. Mm. Now, because you have put Sanctuary on, it still needs to make the will save.
Make that will save.
Okay.
This counts as an attack, correct?
Yes.
Okay, right to strike.
That is, if he even gets it off.
Is it an attack roll?
No, actually. No. So, okay. No, it wouldn't do that.
So,
but.
Does it even count against Sanctuary?
Sanctuary.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If that's. So, I'll do the attack roll, but tell me if it. Okay. Look that up and see. I will get the roll out now.
If the target uses a hostile action. No. The creature can't attack and waste the action. You ward a creature with protective energy that deters enemy attacks. It doesn't say strike, it just says attack. It doesn't say like you have
constrict have the attack trait.
No, it just says the action.
Mm. But it said hostile. It's a hostile.
I mean, it's pretty hostile, but
yeah. I mean, I'm just.
Well, okay, he grabbed me. How long does grab last? Doesn't he have to
re-roll every turn?
He will have to do it at the
grab would definitely count.
Yeah.
The grab
attempt
would definitely count.
Okay, now, so he grabbed me last round, so I'm grabbed now.
Yep.
So I guess, he'd probably be able to get a free constrict, and then his next grab would Ping against Sanctuary?
Yeah. Yes.
And
so,
Retributive Strike, it's like you protect an ally, giving them get damage resistance. It doesn't really say anything about...
What's the trigger say?
An enemy damages your ally.
So and the Retributive Strike would work.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So that would work. All right, so first Constrict.
Yes.
One action. 12 mm-hmm. points of piercing damage.
Okay.
Okay.
The monster deals a listed amount of damage to any number of creatures that are right. grabbed or restrained by it. Each of those creatures can attempt a basic fortitude save with the listed DC. So if you would like to make a basic fortitude save...
What's the DR from Retributive Strike?
+2 in my level, so that is 9.
So 3 damage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Big difference.
But I'll still get that fortitude save. Like, even if I make it, it might not...
It's like a puppy
bone. Oh, gosh. Button, yeah. 27.
Yeah, that is a success, actually.
So is that half damage?
Yeah.
So I'd take one point of damage?
I get...
Because it was 12.
Well, no, you round up you to would, 2. Yeah, well, you would do the fortitude save first.
First.
Oh.
So we would half it, and then you would do that. So I guess you take none?
Yeah, no damage.
No damage.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's 6 damage.
Dude, the meta is debuff and punish. Yeah. I swear to God.
All right, he's going to do another constrict.
Well, yeah. I hit him.
He chomps down on your face, and it doesn't hurt.
I just imagine, like, Benson, he, like, sticks his blade right between.
Yeah, no. Yeah, his gums just, like, cut into the blade. Yeah.
I rolled a 19 on the die.
Oh, yes.
So, my additions.
A 30...
16, so that's 35.
Oh my god.
That is a critical success.
Oh.
Okay.
Kill this thing.
You didn't feel it because its head became severed from its body.
Yeah. Shit, maybe. Oh god, alright.
Really not great rolls. Well, one bad one, one good one.
But double it.
9. So, 16. 32 points of damage.
It's dead.
Plus 7.
This thing tried to chomp down on Adalar's face. And Adalar, you feel it weaken for a second, and as you open your eyes, the head falls, and you see the body has fallen behind it, Benson cleaved its head off, its double head off, right as it was chomping down on your face.
Awesome.
And you all turn to the angel, who you all now realize is still breathing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And I'll see you guys next time.
Beautiful.
Oh, man.